The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The Justice Department reached a financial settlement with President Trump's former national security adviser, Michael Flynn. That's according to a court filing today, which stated lawyers for both sides reached an agreement to drop Flynn's lawsuit against the government. Flynn had sued for $50 million, alleging he was wrongfully prosecuted. In 2017, he pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his interactions with Russia and secretly lobbying for Turkey. The Justice Department later dismissed his case, and he was then pardoned by Trump. The filing did not include the amount of money to be paid to Flynn, nor the terms of the settlement.
For those who are unaware, Bob Mueller was well-regarded on both the right and the left at various stages within his career, a long, distinguished career of service in this city and in this country, and it only became political late in his life.
You know, we heard very little from Robert Mueller during the Russia interference investigation and beyond that. And he was known for letting his work do the talking.
He wasn't a political guy. He really was staying out of it. So I hope they take the legacy from 9/11 all the way to the end as a whole and not just specifics if you're trying to pick out things.
A Time magazine article from 2018 quotes former FBI Assistant Director Tom Fuentes as saying about Mueller, if indicting his own mother was the right thing to do, he would do it. You know, he took a lot of heat for that investigation into Russian interference, but he still persisted.
If it wasn't popular, even to himself, and it was the right thing to do, he absolutely would have done it. I would never guess anything besides the highest moral integrity and courage and commitment. And if it was something that he thought was right, he would do it no matter what. And I think that's the same thing. If he didn't think those investigations had merit, he absolutely went and pursued him.
That last bit there, almost everything said, the exact opposite is the truth. Praising Bob Mueller. Of course, he died, I guess it was a week ago. And then just today, the news breaks that Mike Flynn settles his case with the Justice Department. And I'm sitting here wondering, why did that take so long with Trump in there for the last 14 months? So we'll talk about the backward system of justice here in the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the YouTube channel or the Rumble channel. So, well, a little bit of a change of pace today. There's still quite a lot of news about Iran, and I'm sure we'll get back into that on tomorrow's program. But an article in the, The Federalist, America can't heal from the Russia hoax because Mueller and his ilk face no accountability. No, you heard all the news about the way that, you know where the mainstream media stands on Bob Mueller, a man of integrity. I mean, he stayed in the background. He wasn't trying. All we heard for 2 or 3 years was Bob Mueller. All we heard. And it was all based on a hoax. It was all completely fake. It was treasonous. They were lies, deception. And it was all aimed to take down Trump and everyone associated with Trump, like General Flynn. And a lot of people suffered. People went to jail for it, unjustly. And President Trump, all throughout, I mean, he was calling them out. He was pointing out the evil, pointing out the sin. But then you get to the end and think, you know, 10 years on, okay, Mike Flynn has a settlement, but what about the people that went after him? I mean, I think Strzok and Page got a settlement of some kind, too. They were the evildoers. None calls for justice, as the prophet says. It's pretty amazing. Obama, the dear leader, the one who orchestrated this attack on President Trump. He said Bob Mueller was one of the finest directors in the history of the FBI. So you know from that alone that he was the worst. He was the worst. Transforming the Bureau after 9/11 and saving countless lives. But it was his relentless commitment to the rule of law and his unwavering belief in our bedrock values. Bedrock values, the rule of law. I mean, Obama loves talking about the rule of law, even as he tramples over it. And one of his lieutenants was Bob Mueller. And then, I mean, who can forget that hearing when he's finally testifying and he had no idea what was going on? I think he died of Parkinson's or one of those diseases. And you know, that's sad to see that decline, obviously. But the early stages of something were evidently already setting in. And there he is. His name is stamped all over this fraud, this attack, this unconstitutional attack. And they couldn't find any truth to it. And then all the, if you continue the story on out, well, I guess I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me just review some from the Federalist, this piece. And again, just to, I'll go through some of the tedious detail here because most people have forgotten all about this. I mean, General Flynn, in his statement today, he says, you know, this has been a 10-year struggle. A 10 years, and then he finally gets $1.2 million, and then that's it? That's the end of it? The Federalist says, the recent passing of Bob Mueller has spawned predictably fawning coverage. You heard some of it there in the cold open. But lost in this fetish fest is any real acknowledgement of the incalculable damage Mueller's invasive Trump-Russia collusion scam did to the country, and more importantly, how none of its key players faced any accountability for it. Who has faced accountability for this fraud, for this attack from within? And what about the damage that it caused the United States of America? I mean, it's one thing to point out the evil in the swamp and to come in saying, I'm going to drain the swamp. But we come to find out years later, the swamp survived. The swamp is alive and well. How do you heal if no one's held to account? If none of the evildoers are put behind bars? The Federalist goes and, again, gives us some helpful history, how it all started. At the 2016 presidential matchup between Hillary Clinton and then the real estate billionaire Donald Trump, may have seemed a bit unorthodox when compared to the typical national elections Americans were accustomed to. Little did the public realize that this sentiment extended far beyond normal politics and that the prospects of a Trump presidency were something the D.C. establishment was not willing to tolerate. Not Clinton herself, and certainly not the U.S. intel apparatus. Again, we need more of this, and then adding to it, singling out Barack Obama. Who was the president at that time? Who was over the intel apparatus? I mean, it's easy to point a finger at Hillary Clinton, or the intel people, the FBI, you know, Strzok and Page. But who was the president of the United States at that time? That would be Barack Hussein Obama. He's the one that weaponized all these agencies. He's the one that unleashed these attack dogs as he was going out and as Trump was coming in. And we've had entire programs on that transition period, the end of 2016, how Obama's people came up with this bogus intel assessment saying that Russia hacked the election. Basically, that Russia stole the election along with Trump. Yeah, they're election deniers. All of them. Every single one of them that was screaming in 2020 when the election was actually stolen. They're election deniers of the 2016 variety. It says, to prevent such a possibility from becoming reality, Clinton manufactured a narrative. She made it up. She manufactured a lie to tie Trump to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Part of this baseless conspiracy involved her campaign's law firm, Perkins Coie, paying opposition research from Fusion GPS to dig up dirt on the New York billionaire, enlisting the help of ex-British spy Christopher Steele. Well, and then you get the Steele dossier and so on. That was shopped by Steele to the FBI in the summer of 2016. You remember this? And the FBI, I mean, they were happy to run with it because we got to get Trump. Trump derangement syndrome. And it took Donald Trump to expose just how radical, how anti-American, how treasonous people like Bob Mueller are. Without Trump, what do you get? Well, you don't just get a glowing statement from the dear leader. You get one from George Bush as well. They all agree Bob Mueller is a saint. Bob Mueller was a man of integrity. Bob Mueller stood for the rule of law. And Trump comes along and look at how much evil was exposed. But is that where you stop? Do you stop by just shining light on the evil? Every year at this time, we're preparing for Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And the whole point of the exercise we go through physically is to shine the light on sin and to remove it, to get rid of it, to stop it. But as the Federalist brings out, I mean, how do you heal from this cancer, from this sickness, from this sin, if no one faces accountability? It says here, after reports began circulating that Russia had attempted to interfere in the 2016 election, President Obama gathered his intel chiefs and ordered the creation of the intelligence community assessment that would be used to further the Russia collusion narrative. It was important that it continued on into President Trump's first term. Obama's the one that ordered it. This fake intel assessment. And that's how Jim Comey and company got going. They kept it going. And then they had the help of CNN and the regime media. Oh, yes. Remember the report, the bombshell report? You had Tapper, Shudo, and some other guy, I forget his name. But, I mean, they were reporting on this dossier. And the BuzzFeed revelation and all of it. I mean, it was so serious, the tone in January of 2017, because it was so true. They were all lies. It was a hoax. John Brennan was in on it, Comey, Clapper. They rushed the January 2017 intel assessment that came away with the key judgment, quote unquote, that Russia, quote, aspired to help President-elect Trump's election chances. He won the election because of Putin, because he was an agent of Putin, Donald Trump. Trump, Russia, collusion, hoax. As it turns out, that key judgment was based on one scant, unclear, and unverifiable fragment of a sentence that was interpreted by five people, five ways, says the Federalist. Meanwhile, intelligence contradicting this unsubstantiated evidence was left out of the ICA altogether, thus giving the impression that claims of Putin's preference for Trump were unquestionably true. They lie. They lie. They withhold evidence. They insert bogus evidence. And everyone runs with it. The media, the swamp, the establishment, the Republicans even. The rhinos, that's right. Here, Bob Mueller dies, and I mean, you get a glowing report from the dear leader and George W. Bush. Everybody loved Bob Mueller. And everybody hates Trump, or at least at that time, so many people did, except for, you know, those that voted for him. Trump is certainly not establishment. It says, with the fire of their conspiracy lit, Democrats and their media allies, also willing participants in the hoax, had all they needed to delegitimize Trump's victory and the will of the 2016 voters. The drumbeats of Trump-Russia collusion were amplified for months on end, that by the time Trump fired Comey in May 2017, the narrative had been set. And Comey, for his part, I mean, he was leaking things to the New York Times. It was all coordinated and planned. Dozens and dozens of players, evildoers, behind the plot to take down a president. And, you know, really, this is something that went on. We're talking about 2016, 2017. And when was Butler, Pennsylvania? That was 2024, right? It went on for years. Just like the persecution of Mike Flynn. It went on for 10 years. Even when so much of the evil was exposed. The appointment of Mueller as special counsel in the aftermath of Comey's firing became a core component of undermining Trump and his first administration. Over the next roughly 2 years, the special counsel, comprised of leftist partisans like Andrew Weissman, engaged in egregious investigative conduct and likely leaked details of the inquiry to the media. The entire charade was designed to cast a cloud of impropriety over the administration and undermine the public's faith in the 2016 election outcome. They were all election deniers before that became a household term 4 years later. Thanks to the media, the regime media. So many fakes and phonies. It's all around us. It's everywhere. How do you heal from this when no one faces accountability? I'll get to Isaiah 59 in a moment. The 2019 Mueller report and Mueller's subsequent fumbling testimony before Congress ultimately affirmed what was clear all along, that there was no evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia to steal the 2016 election. But by the time of those events, the damage to Trump and his first presidency had already been done. As we say so many times on this program, the process is the punishment. They put him through this ordeal, all these lies, this conspiracy, this hoax, and they inflict the damage. No one's held to account. And then we just move on. Then, as you heard in the cold open, Bob Mueller dies, and we have to, you know, we have to have the review. We have to, hey, came in around 9/11. I hope everyone looks at the record from 9/11 to today. And there they are saying he's a man of integrity, that he stood for the rule of law, that he'd indict his own mother if he had to. It says here, to date, none of the key players involved have faced any punishment for their appalling behavior. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. America cannot successfully move past the Russia collusion hoax until its founders and lawbreakers, lawbreaking participants, receive the legal reckoning they deserve. You know, this in many ways it supports a point we're making all the time on this program, that it's not going to work. You know, the effort in Iran at the moment, it's not going to work. It's not going to bring America into a golden age because we're not confronting our own sins. We're not looking at ourselves. We're not dealing with sin. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about how the preachers even of this world, they avoid the sin question. They don't even want to talk about sin, let alone removing it. But how can you get any kind of fairness or justice if you don't have a plan of action that removes sin? Because sin spreads. Sin is like cancer. And Isaiah said, we're sick. We're sick. We're infirmed. It says here, they and their antics did indescribable harm to the republic and the country's democratic process that we're still grappling with years later. I mean, look at all that happened between, you know, Trump coming down the escalator in 2015 and then the attempted assassination in 2024. Now, we have a book, America Under Attack, that lays it all out there for you and gives you God's perspective, shows you how this was prophesied. And an incredible epilogue to that story is the fact that God said he would bring Trump back. And he did. It's all in there, America Under Attack. We've got a fair bit in there about the attack on General Flynn. Mueller may be gone, but the destruction he left in his wake is beyond measure. Americans are right to demand justice for what he and his team did to the country. And until they get it, they have no reason to waver in that desire. They still want justice, so many Americans that know how much evil doing was going on. Here's another bit from MS Now, I think it is. It's the Morning Meltdown people talking about Mueller, clip 5.
Both Presidents Obama and Bush released statements praising his lifetime of service. Mueller, of course, also led the DOJ probe into potential Russian collusion during the 2016 election for 2 years, ultimately resulting in nearly 40 indictments and 7 guilty pleas. He did not find evidence President Trump committed any crime, but the probe also did not clear the president of obstruction of justice. President Trump celebrated the news of Mueller's death on social media, writing, Robert Mueller just died good. I can't even read this. I'm not doing it.
You know, there's a reason. I was thinking about this weekend. There's a reason why politicians and presidents don't usually speak this way, because people don't think this way. There may be some people on the fringes that think this way, but I'm telling you, the overwhelming majority of Americans just don't think this way about anybody in their life. And so I'm not going to even respond to that. I would rather respond to a man who committed over eight decades of his life to this country.
I mean, the other two presidential statements were nice. We could read one of those.
No. Robert Mueller's life speaks for itself. And history will judge both Robert Mueller and Donald J. Trump for what happened during the Russian investigation. And I'm quite confident that history will judge both of those actors through that time period, and they will not find Robert Mueller lacking.
You know what's wrong with that tweet that President Trump sent out? Mueller just died, he said. Good, I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. The problem with that tweet is President Trump is implying that the only way to stop an evildoer from hurting other people is for him to die. I guess at least if he's on the radical left side of things. He's dead and now he can't hurt people anymore. Well, what about when he was alive and he was hurting people? How do you stop that? How do you stop it? The only way to heal, just to go back to the Federalist piece, is by removing the sickness, removing the disease, removing the cancer. And that's what Jesus said in the spiritual sense. That's what he said in Matthew 9. We need a physician. We need healing. We need accountability. We need justice. But when there's no justice, the sickness worsens. The evildoers know they've gotten away with it. And so they don't change. They don't repent. In America Under Attack, my father says, the December... Here's, I guess, America's justice system. You get to the end, there's no evidence. It's a complete hoax. My father says here, the December 2019 report from Horowitz outlined 17 errors Comey's FBI committed in launching the Trump-Russia investigation. So you had Horowitz, you had Durham. I mean, they were investigating the investigators. And what did they find? They found a lot of evil. And then what happened? Nothing. Nothing. These were not mere errors, my father says. They were treasonous crimes. But far more importantly, these texts show that the 17 crimes outlined in the Horowitz report were not just the result of some overzealous FBI intern. They reveal that the entire Russia-Trump investigation was being driven from the very top. Driven from the top. Isaiah 59 and verse 14, it says, the judgment or judgment is turned away backward. Upside down judgment. Isaiah 5 talks about calling evil good. You know, what you see on the morning meltdown or what you saw in the cold open, that last half of it, that's a bunch of millionaire talking heads calling evil good. It took someone like Donald Trump to expose Mueller, to expose the deep state, to expose the Bush Republicans, to expose the radical left, to expose the communist infiltration. But after you expose it, well, then you've got to execute judgment. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If you don't execute sentence speedily, this is what's wrong with the Mike Flynn case. 10 years, he was saying this morning. 10 years, he was persecuted. 10 years, he joked that, you know, I need to have my head examined. Why would you fight against this for 10 years? And he said, it's worth it. In the end, we win. But who was held to account? Remember Comey joking about sending the two agents over just days into the first term of President Trump? Yeah, I sent them over. I knew they were going to be a little disorganized. I knew we could set up a perjury trap. And they did. And then the DOJ, to get Mike Flynn to confess, they threatened his son. And then you get several years down the road. Well, they dropped the case. I guess that was about 5 years ago. Listen to what President Trump said. This was 5 years ago or so when the DOJ finally dropped the case on Mike Flynn, clip 7.
He was an innocent man. He is a great gentleman. He was targeted by the Obama administration, and he was targeted in order to try and take down a president. And what they've done is a disgrace, and I hope a big price is going to be paid. A big price should be paid. There's never been anything like this in the history of our country. What they did, what the Obama administration did, is unprecedented. It's never happened. Never happened. A thing like this has never happened before in the history of our country. And I hope a lot of people are going to pay a big price because they're dishonest, crooked people. And it's a disgrace. The Obama administration, Justice Department was a disgrace. And they got caught. They got caught. Very dishonest people. But much more than dishonest. It's treason. It's treason. I am very proud of General Flynn. I can tell you that right now.
Who would you like to see pay a price for this?
Oh, the people should pay a big price for what they've done to this country. They should pay a big price. And their partner, very complicit, is a thing called the media. The media is totally guilty.
Where's that version of Donald Trump? If they committed treason, you know, there you are at the tail end of your first term. Okay, couldn't do much of anything after they stole the election from you in 2020. But now you're back. And I mean, you're showing some courage in confronting the head of the snake. But what about the head of the communist snake here at home? If they're guilty of treason, what is the price that they must pay? Well, the answer is nobody paid. Dishonest, he said. Crooked. It's treason. He said it twice. It's treason. Oh, the people should pay a big price for what they've done to this country. Look at what they did to the country. So here we are today, reminded of it yet again. Not just of the bitter affliction, but the fact that nothing was done to begin the process of healing. Yesterday, this is Sundance, yesterday the DOJ settled with Flynn for approximately $1.2 million. The former national security advisor to President Trump was targeted by the FBI and the DOJ during the Russiagate phase of the Trump targeting effort. And as Trump said there correctly, you know, he got, you know, it was a wide net that the dear leader and his henchmen threw out there, and Flynn got picked up. But the main target was Trump. It was always Trump. Mike Flynn was investigated by Mueller and prosecuted wrongly for lying to FBI agents Strzok and Bill Priestap about the content of his phone call with Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Flynn was also investigated for FARA violations. Investigated by Bob Mueller. Yeah, and then he had Strzok and Priestap. Those were the two agents that Comey. There's another name. Comey just sent him over. When the Mueller team threatened his family in November 2017, Michael Flynn signed a guilty plea, which he later withdrew as more evidence of FBI and DOJ corruption began to surface. I mean, that's corruption at the very top. That's corruption at the top of America's top law enforcement agency. So what do you do about that? How does that get fixed? Does it just take a presidential election victory and then everything, poof, it's all fixed. Everything's taken care of. As I was saying to our news gatherers this morning, I mean, this should have been settled. The financial side of this should have been settled on day one of Donald Trump's second term. He should have been talking about this at the inauguration last January. Listen, the DOJ's already dropped the case. Yes, it was an unjust attack for sure. Flynn's seeking $50 million. We're going to give him every penny of it. But no, even that, even under Trump, the second time around, it's, you know, I know, I don't probably know a lot of details to this fight. You'll probably read more about it today. And maybe there's a reason the process takes longer. I don't know. I'm not even sure when Bondi was in there. So maybe you can't do it on day one. But, you know, what about the second or the third month? You get your AG in there. You know, you put your guy over the FBI. And then you send agents to Florida to apologize and say, hey, just sign the dotted line here. We'll give you the settlement money.
Says here, Flynn was ousted from his position in February 2017 after news broke that Obama administration officials had warned the White House that Flynn had indeed discussed sanctions with Kislyak and was vulnerable to blackmail. It says after the guilty plea, Flynn later sought to withdraw his guilty plea, saying federal prosecutors had acted in bad faith and broken their end of the bargain when they sought prison time for him. They wanted to put him in prison. They wanted to lock him up. Maybe they don't go around leading chants, lock him up, lock him up, but behind closed doors. I mean, they have no problem with that. No, they actually do lock people up. President Trump, he leads the chants. And then Scarborough's head explodes. I'm not even going to address that. We'll let history decide. Yes, indeed. When we're a couple centuries into the world tomorrow and we're looking back at the history books and we're teaching our children and our grandchildren about the evil world that was when Satan was in charge, when Satan was the god of this world, they're going to be looking at this history thinking, there wasn't one person that paid any kind of punishment? Not one? They all got away with it? Well, yeah, they got away with it. And then when they started dying, I mean, the talking heads were talking about their wonderful life, their perfect record. They didn't have any flaws. They were people of integrity. They upheld law and order. Flynn was pardoned by Trump in November 2020, ending the court case and the legal wrangling. The settlement resolves a 2023 lawsuit, which Flynn sought at least $50 million and asserted that the criminal case against him amounted to malicious prosecution. I mean, if you ask me, $1.2 million is not very much. I mean, it's nice that it's all over. They bankrupted the guy. He's been on this show, as you know. He's read America Under Attack. He sent out some strange tweets in the last few months, but maybe we can cover that at a different time. No amount, this is from Flynn yesterday, no amount of money or formal resolution can erase the pain caused by a prosecution that should never have been brought. A huge part, this is from Mike Flynn, his statement on X yesterday. A huge part of that guardianship is accountability, holding those who abuse power to answer for their actions. Well, I mean, it's more than that. They have to do more than answer for their actions. They have to pay a penalty if their actions are lawless. My family and I remain grateful for the support of so many who stood by us. It was their support and our faith in God Almighty that sustained us and gave us the strength to endure. I will continue to advocate for the restoration of integrity at all our institutions. So he fought. It took, in his case, it took 10 years. He finally gets a little bit of money in the end. That's the way it works in our society. Broken judgment. We know a thing or two about that, fighting 6 years in court. 6 years! Just to try to keep Mystery of the Ages alive. A book! A book! In the freest, most prosperous country in history. And we actually had judges that were right in step with the Tkach family. No, I think I kind of agree with the Christian duty to just keep it out of print. So we had to fight that. We had to fight it for 6 years. General Flynn says here, yet this settlement goes far in demonstrating that the current Department of Justice, under the leadership of President Trump, Attorney General Pam Bondi, Deputy Attorney General Blanche, and other dedicated department leaders is committed to bringing accountability for the bad acts of those partisan actors. It marks a meaningful step toward righting a profound wrong. Well, I'm not going to disagree with the fact that it is a meaningful step, but I would argue that it's a small step, really. Because he uses the word accountability. Who has been held to account for the bad acts? What did that verse say in Ecclesiastes? Because the sentence is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The evil just continues. It continues. And it's going to get worse. That's what your Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13. It's just going to get worse. The evil will continue and the evil will worsen. What we're talking about in the larger sense. I mean, it goes beyond Mueller. It goes beyond the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. If you think about the sickness in Isaiah 1 being from head to toe, the sickness just, it is in the entirety of the body, the whole body. Michael Oren, he has a piece at the Free Press. He too has been on this program. I guess that's where, you know, some of these stories relate. General Flynn's been on the show. Michael Oren's been on the show. But his title is Defending Israel in an Age of Madness. It's a mad, sickening age. And I don't think Michael Oren would say he's this ultra-right-wing conservative. But he's Israeli, and he can see what's happening in this world. How do you defend Israel when there's so much madness? For the past 50 years, he says, in capacities both official and voluntary, before the American press, on campuses, and in a corpus of op-eds, I have spent most of my time defending the state of Israel, challenging even in the quietest of times. Standing up for Israel became especially daunting after October 7, when the victims of a verifiable genocide were baselessly accused of perpetrating one. What has happened since October 7? Look at what October 7 has exposed. You know, I think it would be an interesting study to compare, just compare the coverage, the reaction internationally to 9/11. You know, compare 2001 after 9/11 to the day after October 7, 2.5 years ago. Because it was almost immediate that demonstrators took to the streets in support of Hamas. There was sympathy for Israel that lasted about 2 seconds. Can you imagine after and October 7 is like 9/11, 10 or 20 times over, just by, you know, looking at the population of little Israel. But can you imagine people taking to the streets? Tens of thousands of them in London or outside your favorite university campus in the United States, protesting in support of those hijackers that blew up those buildings. You just fast forward 20, 21, 22 years into the future and look at the world, look at the madness that's been exposed. God's trying. You think about the many I was doing a short study on it this morning. The mercy that God, I guess we can read Isaiah 55. God is a God of mercy and love, and he will pardon us if we do what? If we repent. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says, seek you, the Lord, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I mean, you've even got to change your thoughts if your thoughts are wrong. If you're living by the standard of God's law of love, if you have hatred for Trump or hatred for Jews, God says you've got to change those thoughts for it to be true repentance. It says, and let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God is so quick to forgive. He will abundantly pardon us if we return to him. If we turn to him, I mean, repentance is liberating. Repentance is what puts us on the pathway to joy, peace, happiness, contentment. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Isn't that ever the truth? Our thoughts certainly are not God's thoughts. That's why Philippians 2:5 says we need another mind. We need the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ to think like God, to think like Jesus Christ. McLaurin says here, still there remained my bedrock belief that most Americans, when presented with the facts, would come down on Israel's side. But while the hostility in much of the media was nothing new, the open-minded audiences I usually addressed had changed. Conspiracy theories, once considered fringe, had become mainstream. The age-old anti-Semitic tropes had resurfaced in a not-so-subliminal presumption of Jewish wickedness. Inexorably, I came to understand that the cogent nation I once knew and appealed to, where a basic rationality could always be assumed, had fallen into lunacy. So here is a man that has observed, you know, he's Israeli now. He grew up in America. He loves America. And he felt like, you know, before October 7, I could talk to an American audience and present them with the facts and come away knowing I think they'll accept the truth. He's seen America change for the worse. He's seen a particularly ugly characteristic of human nature. Says proof of that descent can be seen in this year's most celebrated movies, one battle after another, Marty Supreme and Bugoni. I have not heard of any of these, which are similarly about obsessiveness, radicalism, and paranoia. If I had legs, I'd kick you is entirely about a woman losing her mind. Even the breathtaking Sinners, which begins as an elegy to the blues and a vivid retrospective on the Jim Crow South, sinks into blood-sodden insanity. Quality films are often reflective of their times, and these productions are no exceptions. The America they depict, whether in the future, past, or present, is unhinged. America is mad. America is sick. America is deranged. Here's an Israeli commentator. He's not even a movie reviewer, but he's looking at the filth produced by Hollywood and saying, what is wrong to the country I was born in? What happened? How did we become unhinged? When did we just love to consume so much madness? So much derangement. Well, you read his article, and there's quite a collection of scriptures that come to mind. Ephesians 2:2, the section in Revelation 12 about Satan being cast down. Satan, the god of this world. I mentioned that verse in Isaiah 5, calling evil good. I mean, a movie that's called Sinners? Unless it's about that tennis player, you know, what are we doing? What is going on? America's national derangement poses myriad challenges to those not yet caught up in it. The enemy is daunting enough for the general public, if that term still makes sense in this fragmented age, and it is virtually insurmountable for the defenders of Israel. To refute the accusation that Israel committed genocide in Gaza, one can marshal facts such as the nearly one-to-one civilian-to-combatant casualty ratio, or the millions of leaflets and text messages dispensed by the IDF warning of impending operations, but it'll be like firing ping-pong balls at a tank. Though readily disproven, Israel's guilt for annihilating an entire people is today accepted by more than half of that general public. Yeah, and you've got people like Tucker out there promoting this message, this derangement, this madness. And it's to the point where it's unhinged. An even larger majority favors the Palestinians. Even the misogynist, homophobic, anti-American terrorists over America's only dependable democratic military ally. Is this rational? Is this normal? Is this righteous? My father's had a lot to say over the years about Colossians 2 and will worship. Maybe we can finish with one of his clips. This is from I don't have a date here, 2002 something, clip 12.
Hitler said that if you tell a big lie and repeat it enough, eventually people will believe it. Now that may sound very strange, but it did happen to the German people and the German nation. It really did come true. He told a big lie and he kept repeating it, and they sort of fell in line with that big lie. An amazing truth that we haven't learned that much from, really, as we should. But could that happen today? Could it happen to America and the British peoples around the world and the Jewish nation in the Middle East and other nations? Could that happen? Well, some people say it already has, and to some great degree.
Tomorrow's news today, it's happening. The date there, if you didn't see it, it's 2020. That's 5-6 years ago, that program. And it was at that same time that my father came out with this article in The Trumpet, one of his classic articles, A Dangerous New Age of Worshiping the Will. This is why you need to subscribe to The Trumpet magazine, so that you can get tomorrow's news today, so that you can get God's perspective on the news, so that you can see where this is leading. Let's just take it a step further from Dr. Oren's article. What happens when madness and derangement spreads, when it gets worse? You know, Mr. Armstrong gave a message years ago about how that if the church gets 51% carnal, where 51% of the congregation isn't doing their part, they're not pouring their heart into their prayers and their study and their overcoming and putting away sin, the whole operation goes downhill. He says we need to get it back to 51% righteous. We need a majority in the spiritual sense. And, you know, you read Dr. Oren's piece and you think, well, boy, a majority are consuming derangement. And we love it. It's just like John 3:19 says, here the light of the truth came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and men rejected it. They rejected Christ because they absolutely love darkness. Call our operators. Make sure you subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, and maybe we can get into more of those will worship clips on tomorrow's show, because, well, I've taken you a minute over, and I'm not going to charge you one penny for that extra 60 seconds. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.